In today's gospel, we heard about a paralytic person that was carried by four men. And when Christ saw their faith, he healed this person. The church fathers dig a lot deeper. And of course, there's different levels of understanding of this gospel reading today. The symbolic meaning behind these four men that are lowering this paralyzed person into the area where the Word of God was, Christ, is that every human soul is paralyzed. Every human soul was paralyzed before Christ. The passions and the fall and the influence of the demons had paralyzed humanity. And that's why around the dome of the church, we have the four evangelists. These four evangelists represent these four men that lower the paralytic person into the church to get well. Because the church is a hospital. And every human soul without the Word of God is paralyzed. Every soul that does not read the Bible, that does not read the gospel, that does not humble themselves to come into the church, they are paralyzed. They may be walking around, but spiritually they're dead. They cannot help themselves. The devil, through our passions, have paralyzed us. Passions paralyze people to do good deeds. We were created, according to Ephesians, we were created to do good deeds. But the devil comes, and as we mentioned last night, he fortifies our inside with bases. He helps us to create these passions because our desires are godly desires. We're supposed to be looking heavenward. Our godly desires have been distorted, and now we are paralyzed by these seven main passions, the seven deadly sins, as we read in Philokalia. A person that's a slave to gluttony is paralyzed spiritually. His belly becomes his god. We fight that paralysis with fasting. Right after that, we have fornication, and someone who's constantly looking to satisfy their flesh, they become paralyzed. A person who's greedy, and that is such a difficult state of paralysis. Just to tell you a quick story, someone was drowning, but he was so greedy. He was drowning. Someone was telling him, "Give me your hand, give me your hand." No, he wouldn't give his hand because he never used to give anything. He wouldn't give his own hand to be saved. And when the other guy says, "Take my hand," he took it right away. So greed paralyzes a person. These parasites, these passions, paralyze the human soul. So we are all paralytics. And we all need to restore ourselves to spiritual health. And that's why during the Audience season, as we mentioned last night, through fasting, through humility, the humility to lower ourselves, to open the gospel, and allow these four men, Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John, to lower us into the theology, into the hospital that's called church, so we can find our healing, so our sins can be forgiven. Sins can be forgiven by psychology or psychology. They themselves, a lot of the psychiatrists, have the highest rate of suicide because psychology does not forgive sins. Only the Petrangeli forgives sins. So we need to understand that we do have passions, and these passions can separate us from God because we were not created with these passions. These are consequential of the fall. St. John of the Ladder mentions a number of different sins, and tonight we will concentrate on a very difficult one. We will concentrate on something that we take for granted. Christians will do all the works necessary. They will fast, they will pray, you know, but they cannot forgive their mother-in-law or their sister-in-law or their friend. And we can do all the Christian works properly. We can almost reach holiness, and we can lose our salvation very easily because forgiveness of others is a condition. It's a condition to our salvation. In Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive, I mean, that's a condition. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't, do not expect forgiveness. It's as simple as that. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says, be careful, because for the trivial sins, the trivial sins that people did against you, and you fail to forgive them, you still have resentment. Be careful, because of these, now you may disqualify yourself from the forgiveness of God. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem teaches this in his catechism. First of all, we have to understand, you know, why our sins against God are so awesome, so great, and the sins of other people against us are very, very trivial, no matter what they have done to us. Trivial, small, insignificant compared to our sin against God. Just to give you a very quick example, you know, we're walking through the room, we see a fly and we swat it, and now we slap it and we kill a fly. We're not supposed to kill things, but, you know, that's not such a big deal. Now, if we do the same action, you know, a little child is kind of walking around and, you know, he's been a little pesty, and smack, we slap him a little bit. Well, the mother may get a little angry, the father, you know, they might tell us off. But again, it's not real crucial. Now, if we repeat the same action with an adult, we're talking to someone, go right over there, we're having a conversation, I don't like something, we hit that person. Now things are getting very serious. Same action, same sin, but now things are escalating. Okay, but let's say this summer I'm going to Greece. I happen to meet up with Simitis. I don't like about some things that, have been happening. I talk to him. I get a little upset, and I hit him. Now, the same sin, the same action, is going to be very, very costly because in his person now, I offend the whole government of Greece. So I may be exiled. I may be persecuted, jailed, okay, there's going to be severe consequences. Now, how about now when a human being, a person, turns around and smacks the Almighty God, telling him that you don't exist, blaspheme God, sin against God. Now, this sin is no longer of a human endeavor. Because God is infinite, now the sin against God becomes infinite. And that's why for one sin, we can be condemned to hell. That's why we lost paradise, because of one little sin. Disobedience, one sin. So disobedience and sinfulness against God becomes very, very serious because God is infinite. And amartia, in the Homeric sense, is simply missing the mark. But when it comes to God, now it becomes an insult. We insult God. So the weight of our sins is humongous. And we see this in another parable. The 10,000 talents, you know, the servant that he owed milia talanda. It's a parable. He went to the master and, you know, he says, "You have a great debt and I expect you to pay it." And he says, "Well, I'm sorry, give me time, I can't pay it." "Well, sell his wife, sell his children, you know, sell him and let's pay whatever we can." Do you have any idea? I'm sure most of you do. What was a talent worth in those times? What is the significance of a 10,000 talanta? It was a monetary sum. A talando in those times was a tremendous amount of money. One talando was about 240 ounces of gold. It was a tremendous, tremendous estate. 240 ounces of gold. Now multiply that by 10,000 talanda. So you can see here, we're not talking about a servant wanting to pay a master who has nothing to do with that. You know, a servant was sold for about 30 pieces of silver back then. That was the price of a servant. So by selling the servant and his children, wasn't even going to put a dent in this debt of $700 million by today's standards. What is significant about that debt is that debt represents our sinfulness against God. And the sins of other people against us represent 2 denarii, about a month's rent. So because of a month's rent, okay, we begin to choke the other person because they didn't look at us right, because they didn't send us the right gift, because they spoke to us indecently, because they hurt us. Now, because of these 2 denarii, you know, half a month's rent, let's say, or a mortgage payment, because of that, we now disqualify ourselves for the forgiveness of millions of dollars worth of debt, because the debt, our sins against God, take infinite dimension. And that's why we can do all the Christian works properly, we can fast, we can almost become holy. And if we do not forgive, our prayers are not acceptable, our gifts are not acceptable, our prosperity at the church are not acceptable. And this is something that we have to be very, very careful, because today there's a lot of this going around. People are not speaking to each other because of a piece of land or because of a misunderstanding. And when that happens, of course, no, we cannot take Holy Communion and we're not forgiven. So St. Cyril says, be very, very careful, because for the trivial things, the trivial sins that people did against you, and you fail to forgive them, you don't have the strength to forgive them, now you are really not receiving forgiveness. So if we are humble and intelligent Christians, we will forgive. We will make it our business to forgive very quickly anything that happens, so we can have this debt, this awesome debt, which amounts to tens of thousands, 10,000 talents from God, because we sin constantly every day with our thoughts, our actions, our tongue, constantly. According to some theologians, we sin maybe close to 1,000 times a day, just with our thoughts, words, and deeds. If we multiply this times 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it becomes an infinite amount of sinful behavior, that can be wiped out instantly by Christ. Christ takes all this, nails it on the cross. It's all paid for. He died on the cross for this. Under one condition, that we must forgive the person whatever they did to us. And that is a condition. And St. John of the Ladder says, proof of a genuine repentance, Kathari Metania, genuine repentance is the expulsion of all resentment and all ill will against all others. So tonight we'll talk a little bit about manisikakia, the memory of bitterness of a wrong caused against us from another person. That's the explanation of the Greek word manisikakia. The remembrance to constantly hold on to this grudge, to resent, and not be able to forget something that another person did to us. And when we do this, we endanger our salvation. And this infects holy people as well. Most of you know the story of the priest Saprikios, very holy man, during the years of martyrdom. And he had a very good friend by the name of Nikephoros. They had a very good relationship, but at some point they exchange some words. The priest Saprikios became very upset. Nikephoros humbly asked for forgiveness, but Saprikios says, I don't want to see you anymore. And this man was a priest. He tried a number of times to ask for forgiveness. Saprikios would refuse. The time came where he was apprehended by the Romans, and quite possibly he would be executed very soon. And now Nikephoros goes and begs him, Father, please forgive me. You know, you might martyr. You might be dying in a few hours, a few days. Please forgive me. No, I will not. He will not forgive him. As he was being questioned, now up to this point, he was a very brave soldier of Christ. As he was questioned by the Romans, if he would be willing to deny Christ, the grace of God left him at that point. Left him totally. And he says, why am I here? What am I doing here? That's what we want to know. Why are you here? All you have to do is deny Christ and you can go. You're free. That's all I have to do? Yeah, no problem. I'm not a Christian. He walked. And with tears, Nikephoros took his place. He walked in and says, I am a Christian and I believe in Christ. And he martyred. You know? So we have to be very, very careful. And the Bible says, do not let the sun go down. If you feel some kind of, especially with couples, with husbands and wives, with, you know, relatives, you know, do not let the sun go down without reconciliation. You know, and it takes humility to say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. Forgive me. And the greater person will be the one who will say that first. The ones who elevate themselves, they will be humble. And those that humble themselves, you know, they will be great. So manisikakia is something that we need to be very careful about, because I don't think there's a person in this room that at some time or another did not feel a little bit of resentment, a little bit of spite, a little bit of anger. Okay, and we have to understand that this daughter called manisikakia comes from the passion of anger. If we destroy anger, when we reach our yesia, the lack of all anger, in other words, when we reach meekness, then this also evaporates. It goes away. There's a certain method that we can use, and we'll talk about it, but we need to also mention that, you know, this can be very, very deadly, as you know. You know, people today, you know, go to witches, they go to Maya, so they can harm other people because of this, because of spite, because of anger. And this is the kind of feeling the guilty brothers of Joseph were afraid of when their father died. You know, the story in Genesis, when they got very jealous when Joseph told them that he saw some dreams, and at some point they decided, look at the dreamer, let's get rid of this guy. They became very spiteful because Jacob was favoring Joseph, because Joseph was very obedient, very humble, very good soul, and Jacob was favoring a little bit, and they became very jealous and spiteful. So they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Judah saved him, and Reuben, the other 10 were going to kill him, just like they killed a number of other people before. They were very nasty. A little bit before that, just to give you an idea how this passion can lead to death, in Proverbs we read, the way of the rancorous, the way of the spiteful will finally lead to death, and the one who bears a grudge is lawless. Lawless. It's outside of the law of God. Cannot be called a Christian, someone who holds a grudge. At some point, they left the area that we're in, and they visited, they came and they settled at this place called Shechem. And Leah's daughter, one of the young sisters, she was a little bit curious. You know what they say about curiosity, huh? She kind of wanted to go out and check the neighborhood out. She wanted to see how the other girls dress, you know, the women of the idolaters. This is Dinah now. So Dinah goes out and she's looking around, and one of the princes of the land, his name was Shechem, probably named after the land, or he named the land after him. He saw her, he flattered her, told her that she was probably beautiful, the most beautiful thing he ever saw. She fell for it. Eventually, he violated her. And now he's in love with her, and he comes back to Abraham and says, look, I want to marry your daughter. Well, this was not very acceptable because, you know, they were not supposed to have mixed marriages. In the Old Testament, the law speaks against mixed marriages. But Abraham, what can he do? You know, the neighbors come who are idolaters and says, listen, we'll help each other out. Whatever you want us to do, we will do. Let us marry your daughter. We want to have her as my son's wife. The husband went to ask for the daughter's hand, for Dinah's. And the anger of Levi and another brother overtook them, two of the brothers, and they designed a very evil plan. They told him, look, we will never accept this unless all your men in the village become circumcised. That's it. We are Jews. We will not be married with someone who's uncircumcised. So all of you have to be circumcised. The people said, well, you know, they accepted. The prince and the king went and convinced the entire clan to be circumcised so they can have this wedding. They waited 3 days. And when, back then, there was no painkillers, it was a very painful operation. After the 3 days, the men were incapacitated. The two brothers took knives and went and killed every one of their men in that village. You see, because of spite and anger. And anger is a deed, an act of the devil. And that's why murder is not one of the seven deadly sins, but anger is. And that's why, by the way, Levi and the other brother they lost their birthrights. Reuben lost it for a different reason. He was the first. Then Levi, and then the fourth one was Judah. Because of this murder, because of this heinous act, they lost their birthright, and that's why Christ would come, you know, from the lineage of Judah. Okay? Eye for an eye. Okay, somebody somehow took one of your eyes out. Now, you may take their eye out, but you cannot do it yourself. You have to take them to court, and the court will do it. So you see what God is slowly trying to do? He's taking justice out of the people's hand and putting it in the hands of the law. He's designing a legal system for them to slowly elevate him, you see. But not in the Christian era. Christ says, you heard in the old law, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but not here. The Messiah is here now, and you are supposed to love your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Because that's exactly what I did. Christ and his most faithful apostles and Saint Stephen, they forgave their murderers. They were praying for them. So the new law says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Is this possible? Is it possible to really begin to love a person that may just ran over your child? Is this possible to begin to feel love for the drug dealer that just destroyed your child? Is this possible to feel love for the mother-in-law that just destroyed your marriage and ruined your life? Is it easy? No, it's almost not human. It's very, very difficult. As we see in the case of Esau and Jacob. Yeah, Jacob didn't really do anything that was too bad. Esau, when he was a little bit hungry, he didn't want to fast. Okay, he says, I don't care about my birthrights. Just give it. Jacob, years of grace to do by ourselves. When Christ are yourself called. Very about from this green divorce speak for years. And also misunderstandings within Christian brothers and sisters. That is very, very dangerous to someone's salvation, as we already mentioned. So according to St. John of the Ladder, there is a therapeutic method. Because again, anger and spite and resentment, it paralyzes the human soul because it expels it from paradise, the forgiveness of God. St. John of the Ladder says that if we want to combat and begin to defeat this evil, we must begin to defeat anger. If we have a problem with anger, we get angry very easily. Of course, it shows egotism when things don't go our way.